Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is the Ready Church. Are you ready? I tell you, from one week to the next, from one day to the next, I tell you, Jesus is coming soon. There's so much going on around about us in this last hour. As I always say, you know, we need to take in a self-examination of what's going on around about us in this last hour. I tell you, it's so disturbing when you see, you know, the chaos and the confusion and the violence filling the land and everything. I mean, it's just so much going on. You just never know. So much to pray for. And I'm so disturbed by the stuff that I see in this last hour. I really am. I know you should be too, because I was just looking at the news today and seeing how, you know, businesses at the FedEx, you know, 8 people lost their lives on today, you know, violence filling the land, you know, I think it was others that got injured. It's so much to pray for, so much to pray for. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. We ask that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Minister to us in a special way. God, we pray for the sin-sick nation that have turned their hearts away from truth in this last hour. We pray, oh God, for the listeners on today, oh God. We pray that you unstop their ears from not hearing the word of God, the words of truth in this last hour. We pray that their eyes would be open to truth, oh God. We know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but you came to give us life. And that life more abundantly. In Jesus' name, we pray. As I said, you know, so much going on. You know, me and she always pray. I mean, prayer is the only thing that's going to change anything. Prayer changes things. When you trust God and just keep looking to him and, you know, depending on him and looking to him, he promised that he would hear and answer our prayer on today. I was just, like I said, I'm just so disturbed by the things we see with all this sin sickness in this nation, you know, with the violence and the young men getting killed, and not even just the young men, but the older men too, you know, in these traffic stops and everything. It's just so much to address. I'm telling you, fathers, really talk to your sons. I'm telling you, this nation was built on, you know, a foundational truth. And it was built with structure, and it was built with a foundation that men, you know, are supposed to train their young men, their sons, how to be, you know, productive young men in this last hour. We see that the enemy is on the attack with our young black men, you know. So it's just so much that we want to address on tonight. But I was listening to this young man, Herman Maury, and he was talking about, you know, how fathers, you know, should train up their sons and things. And I was like, Lord, I think I want to let the Blog Talk, you know, put him on Blog Talk so that these young men can know, you know, that maybe fathers could know that they need to talk to their sons. Your sons really need you. I mean, it's so much that the enemy wants to destroy our young men, you know, and that'll destroy the families. You can't have a family without men. They are the seed planters, you know. So I'm going to turn it over right now to, I want you to listen. If you know any young men that need, you know, to be ministered to in a fatherly way, it may not be your blood son, you know, but just a son ministering to other young men. I mean, they need direction in this last hour. Like I said, so much confusion and chaos and murdering and suicide. And I tell you, and all you look around, you see these pastors, you know, they just trying to fill up their pockets with money coming. Well, Jesus is coming, and we should be about our Father's business on tonight. So I'm not going to talk long, but I want you to please pay attention. Call somebody, even if after the blog talk was gone off, call some young man and tell him to minister to his son. Oh, these young men need you. They need their father, and you can be an example to him. At this time, I'm going to play Herman. I want you to listen. Listen clear. It's not just for the men. It's for the women. The word of God is for us all. Just take it in and minister, and let it minister to you that you may minister to those around about you in this last hour. Please pay attention.
Give an honor to whom honor is due. Certainly, it is God's will that men could rise to the level that he ordained. And be the head, because you are the head, we are the head. That we would be the godly men that God has called for us to be. Some of us just grew tall, but we're not men. Some of us look strong, we just got older, but that didn't make us a man. God says in the book of Genesis, let us make man. So it takes God to make you a man. One thing that I was so grateful and thankful for this morning is that I had a wonderful father who taught me the things of God. I don't know how I would have grown or what my life would be like if I didn't have a good example of what a man of God was supposed to be. I'm grateful, amen, because for some of you who don't know it, amen, Apostle is my grandfather. And he put it in my father in such a significant way that my father was more than qualified to teach it and pass that wisdom to the next generation. And I'm so grateful and thankful to God for a good lineage. Amen, for Apostle Murray, who has been a father to us all. Amen. Now listen, the first men's retreat that we had years ago, as we stood and as we began to talk about life's experiences and how much that time of fellowship meant to everyone who was there. Never forget, one young man stood up and said, I've only seen my father once or twice. I've met him, but don't really know him like that. He said, I was so afraid to grow up because I didn't know what a man was supposed to be, because the only example that he had is what a man was not supposed to be and what a man was not supposed to do. But nobody had shown him what a man was to do and how he was to be. He said, but I'm so grateful that when I came to this ministry, God let me know that if I listened and if I watched that man of God, that he would show me and he would teach me through the word how to be a man that God would be proud and pleased of. And so, Apostle, we say thank you to David. Amen. For being that type of man that those of us that are coming along can pattern ourselves after. And if we do it, amen, the way Apostle had laid out the example for us to do it, then we can enjoy a life of happiness the way God intended. What we're seeing now is not what God intended from the beginning. What we're seeing now is the result of years and of generations of falling away from the things of God. And look at our society now. It's full of so much peril and so many ills because somebody dropped the ball. But I came to talk to some men today to tell you that God is calling you and he's looking for you to rise to this occasion because this generation needs some real men. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, there is a word from the Lord. Now find somebody on the other side and tell them, and I'm a lover of the word of God. Those of you that have your Bibles, that's all I want to talk to you out of today is the word of God. Hold that power up in the air. Amen. Because everything else is going down but the word of our God. St. John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. I want to begin reading at the 8th verse. If you'll give me a few minutes, I'll just preach what the Lord would have me to say. Amen. And I won't prolong the time any further than that. So to all of these wonderful, wonderful fathers, amen. This is your day. Amen. This is your day. I wish the sisters would give you a hand clap. Amen. Amen. And I hope it's more than just your hands being put together. I know they treated you nice last month. Amen. I hope you treat them nice. I think back on so many things as I preface this work that my father taught me, and we talk about it sometimes now. You know, you really start to miss people when they're gone. '96, the Lord called my father home. That was 14 years ago now. See, I did pay attention in school. And in the past 14 years, it's almost as if I can hear his voice more clearly now than I did when he was here. That's why, fathers, you can never take for granted those times of instruction. Because there are things that if you don't teach them, somebody else who really don't know the right way to do things would teach them a twisted method, and that will become the standard for their life. Think back now to the times when my father told us, listen, y'all gonna have to stop all of this stuff. Stop all of this playing. You're a man now. You gotta handle things like a man would handle them. Told me that when I got to a certain age, I had to stop being a boy. And I had to be a man. And he didn't just sit on the sidelines and wait for me to make up my mind. He showed me. He pulled me to the side and told me what I was doing wrong. And I would sit there and wonder, who does he think he is? You know how children are. And I'll never forget, I looked at him 21 times. We were on the church parking lot, just pulling into the driveway. He said something, and I said something back as if I didn't hear what he said. And I looked at him in the rearview mirror, and we opened the door to get out of church. And with people walking by the car, he said, I don't know who you think you're talking to. You better look out that window. Stop looking at me like that because I'll knock you out. And I wanted to slam the door before anybody heard it talking to me, but it was out there. He didn't let me just grow up under my own devices. But he gave me Thank you. And I thank God for him, because had it not been for that man that took place over me in my stomach, no matter where we would be. And when I look at my brother and my sister now, it is nothing but the result of good, sound doctrine and teaching, amen, that have formed us and shaped us into the well-meaning adults that we are right now. Amen. So I'm grateful, and I thank God every day for my daddy. Amen. I miss him, amen, but he's still alive in me. Because if you've seen me, then you've seen my Father. St. John 14 and 8, when you have it, say amen. Philip stands unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And this suffices us. It will be enough. It will satisfy us. Jesus says unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Look at somebody and just help me announce this text quickly. Just tell them, like Father, like Son. Understand that before God ever established the church, he established the family. The garden, he looks at Adam, who he created first, the one to whom he made covenant and gave commandment, the one that he had called to be the head. And he looks at Adam and he says of Adam that it is not good for man to be alone. So the Bible says that he created by Adam or formed or brought into existence what was called a helpmeet. Somebody who was called alongside to assist him in the work that he was already doing. And we heard Friday night, amen, that if Adam had not been working, then he didn't need anybody to help him do anything. So, brothers, before you get a helpmeet, you need to be doing something. Boy, look at him getting quiet again now, right? He ordained that there should be a unit by which not only the world could be replenished, but also the spiritual knowledge of God could be passed from generation to generation. In other words, it was never intended by God for a society to give morality. And I know we're in that time now where everybody is raising children but the parents now. But God never intended that society would be the ones that taught morality to those that were coming up. That was to be the job of the parents, namely the father, keeper, who was the one to whom God gave commandments to sit over his household and to establish a covenant with God. Fathers, do you not realize that you are the example of your children, what they will take when it comes down to how they relate to God? Because my son, he's 2 years old now. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know anything about God yet. So I must be the example to him now about a spiritual father that he cannot see. So that means I have to know God. I've got to read God's word. I have to have personal relationship with God so that I, in turn, can give him a healthy understanding of who God is. Amen. And fathers, this is what God is calling for even now. He's calling, first of all, relationship with God. You don't know how to lead a family right except the Lord is the head of the family. Because the Bible said that except the Lord build a house, they that labor in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, they that watch, the Bible said, the watchman watch in vain. So it is of the utmost importance that we understand who God is, amen, and what God is calling for. So we've got to be that type of example, amen, that says to the next generation that this is the type of man God is looking for. This is the type of young lady God is looking for. But instead, we have a generation now that is raising up themselves. Could I just talk for a few moments here this morning? Amen. We have a generation now that's raising themselves on trial and error. And it's so sad now that in a time like this, we have parents who act more like children than the children act like children. It's sad now that 13 and 14-year-olds have got to rise and be the parents in the home, because the mother still wants the club and the daddy still wants the pimp. Y'all ain't said, could I preach up in here? It's a sad thing in this time now where children can be at home all day and never, ever even see their parents put themselves to sleep. Amen. Cooking for themselves. This is a untoward and a backwards generation. So God is saying now that it was always the job of the family to teach morality to the generations that were coming. It was not only, listen here, it was not even simply for the church to teach morality, but the church was supposed to reestablish and reaffirm what was already being taught in the home. Well, look at the church being quiet here. I'm going to preach it out of here. Amen. The church was supposed to reinforce things that were already being taught in the home. But sadly now, we don't have homes where the knowledge of God is even being pushed. Now all we see, amen, is a generation of young people who are growing up to love. They're growing up, amen, amen, who did they call? Y'all ain't standing here. But they're growing up immoral. They're growing up without the knowledge of God. They're a bunch of imbeciles. Amen, they're growing up angry. Nobody is teaching them the commandments of God. So what we have now, we have a generation where the adults are even scared of the young people, because the young people have gotten so out of control. Y'all ain't saying I'm here. Amen. I remember times, and I'm only 33 years old. Amen. When you were somewhere you weren't supposed to be, somebody called to tell you to kill that guy out of your house. Amen. But nowadays, you better keep your mouth closed. Amen. You can't hardly say nothing. Amen. If you're walking down the street now, it's almost to your advantage to cross the street when you see young folks. Y'all ain't standing here. Amen. And I used to get offended when folk would lock their doors when I came down. Amen. But now I'm offended, folks, because I'm locking mine too. Amen. This is a generation now where the older people are even scared of the younger people because they have gotten so out of control. But it's not their fault. Somebody, amen, needs to rise up and stand and be the examples that God is calling for them to be. Let me give you some history now. To my sheep, the times sons were always preferred. It mean that women weren't worth anything. It just meant that, amen, in order for a man's lineage, his lineage and his bloodline to continue, he needed sons, because daughters would get married and would go and join other families. So that meant that if a man's family was to continue, then he needed sons that would keep his bloodline going. He needed sons that would keep his name alive. Amen. So sons always preferred. Amen. So they went through a lot of effort training us to be. Nobody wanted the children to give them a bad name. As a matter of fact, if you had unruly kids, now I'm not saying today, but back in the day, amen, if your children disrespected you and gave you a bad name, did you know they would take your child to the outskirts of the city and they would command that your child would be stoned? Oh, I know. A lot of us better be glad they don't have those type of laws nowadays, because we wouldn't hardly have any young people alive today. They would kill you because you would
went through a lot of pain to give them what they needed to handle the issues of life. But I preach here. So even when we look at the Old Testament, let's look at Proverbs, for example. The wise man goes through a lot of trouble to teach his son morality and how to handle the issues of life. He says things like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the first thing he would teach his son is that you must fear the Lord. In other words, you must have a relationship. You must acknowledge him in all of your ways. He would teach him further than that to beware of strange women. God, could I preach up in here? Not only that, but he would teach him that a good name was rather to be chosen than the riches of the wicked. But nowadays, boys are having to redefine manhood because so many don't have the example of what a real man is supposed to be. So what they are forced to do in this generation now is that they are forced to grow up and just give their own ideas about what a man is supposed to be. And it is the fault of fathers who are no longer there, who would rather sometimes leave a family that they already established and go and take care of another family that they did not establish. And I know, you know, a lot of times, especially in our community, we hear that excuse now. Well, we didn't have a fathers because our fathers were taken from us and sold to other areas of the country. But listen here, the past does not have to have the same bearing on you, my brother. It does not have to be your story. As a matter of fact, all it takes is somebody who has the mindset that I'm going to stay and I'm going to stick this out. Brothers, look at somebody and tell them I'm going to stay and stick it out. God, I wish you look at somebody and tell them I'm going to stay and I'm going to stick this one out. Amen. You no longer have the excuse that other people sold you away from your family. Amen. Because that was 100 or so years ago. But now the question is, what is your mindset today? And if you return to the Lord, he will teach you how it is he expects for you to handle this family. And now because men are missing, the family is suffering. And even society now is feeling the effects of the lack of a father in the home. I was watching the news yesterday, and did you not realize that now they are trying to tell us that a family does not need a man? Could I preach here? Women can do it all by themselves. That's that feminist movement we got to watch out for. But listen here, brothers and sisters, I can't teach a young lady how to be a girl. And I sure can't teach her how to be a woman. So that means that a woman cannot teach a man how to be manly. Unless she's a manly woman, and even then she's just taking and plotting and perpetrating something that she can never be. Now, it takes a man to put manly qualities down on the inside. God, can I preach here on the inside of the next generation? But the fathers are missing now. And even the Bible tells you that we have many instructors, but we don't have many fathers. So what are you saying, Brother Herman? I'm glad you asked. I come to tell you that when fathers are not in place, then it begins to throw the balance off. And that's the reason why now we have a lot of families that are balance. What happens when fathers are not there? When a father is not there, then young ladies begin to be loose in their moral integrity. Because if this young lady had a father that was there, he would tell her, listen, you ain't going out the house looking like that. But Yahweh, should I preach up in here? I said if a father was really there, then a father would tell a young lady, ain't no man got no business putting his hands all over you. Could I preach to you? But when a father is not there, then what a mindset becomes is that you've got to get all your tan out of the woman here. me this? Can you do me this way? Can I preach up in this? Can you pay my bills? My telephone bills? My water bills? My life bills? That's what happens when a father is not in place. And not only does it happen to the young ladies, but even our young men begin to suffer. And I know some of y'all gonna get quiet here, but this whole rock that's about to hit somebody. Well, what happens now is that we end up with a world full of effeminate young men. Could I go ahead and preach it? I don't care if you get mad. I get so sick of seeing these little boys who twist and switch harder than a dog wag his tail. Could I go ahead and preach it? If a daddy had been there, he'd have told you, listen, take your mama's shoes off.
Thank you.
me by the chair. So what happens now is that we enable young men to be lazy. Young ladies, have some pride. Stop letting folk come in this place. I told you, you got to be careful. Because they'll play like they love you. They'll play. Oh, look at them getting quiet. Because some of you found out too late. I told you about the parable seed. That I'm not loved tomorrow. But even though I'm not loved, the Bible said that was still his sister. So even though it was real love, it wasn't the right kind of love. So stop telling me I love him. Every love ain't right. Could I preach up in the head? You got some men that love little boys. Could I preach up in the head? You got some men that love little girls. Oh, sometimes, even if it's real love, it don't make it right. The Bible says I'm not. He lost it up in his sister. And when he got up, after he squawked her, after he had sex with her, the Bible said he hated her. And young ladies, you got to be careful. But after they get you, after they spoil you, after they take your cookies, that's all I hate you. And walk off and leave you. So go ahead and preach. I ain't got no better sense than to tell it like it is. When I preach, should I quit? Or should I go on? Yes, sir. So that means you got to be careful. And stop depending on your heart all the time. Well, what can he do for you? Because love don't pay no bills. But I reach up in the head. I love him. Well, what can he do for you? Because love ain't enough to fill your belly. Do you have a job? Do you have a car? Do you have some place to stay? Stop letting them be lazy and lay upon you. And it's sad now. And you got so many young ladies that have no type of morality. One I'm rolling off this side, and the next one rolling on the hard one. Well, I have some pride. So we've got to get back. But telling these young men now that nobody's supposed to take care of you. Ain't nobody supposed to feed you. In the world, that you are not eating. Reach up in the head. I know they used to have signs that said, I will work for food. But they don't have those no more. They just say, I'm hungry. But I reach up in the head. But we got to get back. But teaching it like the Bible says. Stop somebody a high five. Ask your neighbor. No, it's all right. Have to be trained to make sure they continue the life. The next thing that a father would tell his son is don't disrespect women and don't fool with women who disrespect themselves. You've got to be careful, brother, to tell your son that there are some women out there and women don't get offended. I talked about the brothers on Mother's Day. Well, it's my time to come down your road. You got some women out there. You gotta see a strong brother. You got a good job. Quit preaching to me. You gotta save a home life. Got a good example of a father. And they'll look at this brother and say, I need that one right there. So they'll hush on the skirt. Quit preaching to me. They'll put a sprint all the way up the top and come in the house. For y'all ain't standing here. And brother, if you don't turn your head, there's a devil that get on you. And now you got to fight on your head. And after they get you, well, don't worry about it, I'm on the pill. Could I preach up in the head? Could I go ahead and preach? Well, you ain't got to worry about it. I'm on the pill. And the next thing you know, they done told you three times. I think I'm pregnant. Now listen. If they hold the pill, then how would they convince you three times that they planned it? They're trying to trap you. They're trying to hook you. But I reach up in the head. They're trying to
got angry. That's what a father would teach his son. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood. That's what he said, Elder. I understood as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I had to put away childish things. I have to stop wearing some clothes. Thinking quiet. I have to change my style. Because I wasn't a little boy no more. I have to change the way I was talking. Because I talked like a child when I was a child. Which brings me to another point. A real father would tell his son, stop cussing and talk like you intelligent. We got a problem nowadays. I get so sacked all the time. Y'all trying to make me preach this. Could I just say this and just risk somebody getting mad at me? I get so tired of black people acting like just because I'm black, I ought to cuss like you cuss. Listen, you got some black folk that talk intelligent. I tell you, talking white. It ain't about talking white. It's about God. Can I preach here? You know what my daddy told me? He told me people cuss because they don't know the intelligent words to say. Well, I guess they got mad there. Stop approaching me like that. Just because you cuss don't mean every black man cuss. And you wonder why we've been left behind. It's just a man putting his foot on my neck. No, it's you acting ignorant. Y'all ain't standing up here. Because I ain't never been what people call me. Or y'all ain't, could I preach up in here? It's not about what they call you. It's what you answer to. Thank you, kind spirit. But I wish we could get away from all of that. But you gotta watch now. Because it's almost like everything that we get towards ourselves. I'm gonna pause to see what I can say some of this stuff. Our morality is down. A lot of these movies that black people make for black people.
Because if you won't get up until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I wouldn't hire you either. If you came in talking crazy and cussing, I wouldn't even give you a job. So it's not about everybody else. It's about how you carry yourself. And fathers need to be there to tell these young men you are better than that. You're better than that. Grow up. Stop trying to date if you ain't got no job. Grow up. Y'all ain't standing there. See, we done got this back good. Now, see, I'm trying to quit. Y'all keep making me preach. Can we go ahead and talk since we preach? I don't understand all this dating in the church. No way. Brothers, in one church done dated 15 women in the last year. Listen, you can't date everybody in the church, brother. Y'all ain't standing them in young ladies. Listen, let me help them tell you what they're doing. They trying to pile you up because they scared you won't go get somebody else. But some of them ain't ready to marry you. I told you this ain't the year for the serial daters. Y'all ain't talking here. Some of you been dating the same man for 3 and 4 and 5 years. He ain't said nothing yet. Listen, you got to tell him this ain't my year to be dating you for another 3 years. You got to make up your mind. Either you going to play me or you going to trade me. They just don't want nobody else to get you. So they string you along until they're ready to make up their mind. So why don't y'all go to date them in church? No way. If you ain't got no job, no place to stay, ain't got no car, you ain't ready to get married. And the only reason why you ought to be going out is because you ready to get married. And if you ain't ready to get married, you ain't got no business to stay. Just sit right there and hold your pillow and wait for Shiloh to come. All right, you said preach. I just need to know. Hey, amen. All right. So what is the problem? What is our problem? Problem is, and I'm closing, we don't have a lot of men who are disciplined enough to be godly. I heard one young brother say that his father told him one day, the only thing his father told him about a woman is just don't let her take your heart. Do what you want to and with her. Just don't let her get in your heart. In other words, just have fun, but don't get so connected that you just can't up and leave me when it's over. Fathers are not godly enough now to teach. What we have now is a generation of addicts who are addicted to so many things. Some addicted to pornography. It's sad when your sons are going through your house and find magazines that send them down that same road. Some addicted to heroin or cocaine. And it's sad because they'll get into your stuff when you're not there. Some are so bound by alcohol until they beat their wives and their women, get so drunk until they try to touch their own daughters. And too drunk to teach their sons the right way to go. Something is going wrong in this generation. Bob said that would be a backwards and an untoward, and that's what we're in now, an untoward generation. Fathers don't understand that the sons of today will be the fathers of tomorrow. And like father, like son,
I realized 2 years ago how serious this was. I realized that it's more than just me now. I'm affecting the next generation. And just like I take care of my wife, my son is going to take care of his. Because that's the example I'm going to leave him. And brothers wonder why this is a generation of bitter women. All men are dogs. No, no. All of us ain't dogs. Get your every one of you dogs. I said we ain't. Every man ain't a dog. You just been hanging out with dogs. What does that say about you? But there are still some good young men. There are still some decent young men that'll hold the door for you. That'll get up and let you sit down. There's still some gentlemen out there. Chivalry ain't dead. It's just hard to find. But it's not dead. Sometimes you get a hold to some of them women and I can hold the door for myself. You ain't got to stand there. Well, hold it there. I ain't wasting my time. Holding the door for somebody ungrateful, unthankful. But there are some nice young men. Because regardless to what society shows you, and everything you see on TV now is always single women raising sons. And I know it's a reality. I know it is. Single women raising families, men 40 and 50 years old still trying to dress like they're teenagers. And wait till they get gray hair and then start trying to put earrings in their head. How you gray-headed with braids? Now, if you don't play like you young, at least go through the trouble of making folks think you young. Wearing shorts with church shoes and football socks. You ought to quit. Stop it. Stop. You're not giving us nothing to look forward to. Stop. Just stop. Amen. It don't have to be like that. You know what I was very funny. I was telling somebody the other day. I said, when I look at the apostle dressed the way he do, that gives me hope. Amen. Because I see some folks out there, they just, I mean, wow. It's unbelievable. Amazing. But we wonder why women are so bitter. Because a lot of them have been mishandled and have been mistreated and have been disappointed by men. Brothers, God is calling for you to stand up. Our jails are running over. A friend of mine was telling me, I believe it was Ohio or somewhere, they're building a newer and a bigger jail, just brand new. New Jersey, they got so many people, especially in the Camden area, just, I mean, you're almost more likely to be in jail than you are walking the street. Something is going wrong. People are going and joining gangs because they want to feel like they belong to something. Fathers, make them feel like they belong to your family. Spend time with them. Grieve with them. Pray with them. Stop sending them to church and you bring them. And sit them next to you so they don't terrify the people in the back. Something has to happen because the fathers that we see today are the examples that the fathers of tomorrow will pick up on. I'm wondering what the next generation is going to look like. What is it going to be like? Have you thought about that? Nobody's staying around. Nobody's there taking care of responsibility. And I said it last night, and I'll say it again. It didn't take as much effort for you to become a father as it does for you to be one. We put in a few minutes to become fathers, but won't even put in that much time to be fathers. It's a sad day and time now that children are growing up without real example. Brothers, like father, like son. God is calling for us to stand up. Joshua took the lead in his family. Joshua said, choose you this day. Whom you going to serve? Who is it? Who you going to serve? If it seem evil to you, then choose the way of the world. Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Everything in my house is going to serve him. Everything, everybody in my house is going to serve the Lord. If not, keep me in my house. Because fathers have got to stand up and put your foot down sometimes. Do you know children sometimes want to hear you say no? They don't just want you around. They ain't going to be back to 5 in the morning. Okay, well, go on. You want to know what I'm going with? No, go on. I said you could don't hurt me if I change my mind. Sometimes they just want to know that you care enough to say no, to discipline them. Show them that you're concerned about them. Don't let them be in their room watching anything. Go in and check it out. However, that's an invasion of privacy. Oh, what? Get out! This is my room! You did not! What? I did not. And it's my house. I'll take the door off the hinges and hang a sheet up there. And even then, it'll be my sheet. You got to have rules. Stop locking that bathroom door. I'm 13. I said, don't you lock no doors in my house. You got to have some rules. Like father, like son, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my father. And a lot of us can look around and see the way people are growing now. And we know what kind of morality they grew up under. Or lack of morality. Young men doing what they want to do. Young ladies doing what they want to do. And if a father had really been godly and in place, a lot of this stuff could have been avoided. Brother, it's time to stand up. It's time to be real. It's time to be godly. It's time to be the examples that God is calling for us to be. Can't let them grow up their own way. They don't know the way. He called the old because they know the way. Somebody's got to stay and stick it out and tell this generation that God still values godly men. I want you to stand in the presence of the Lord.
Praise the Lord for the word of God. Everything is going down but the word. I pray that it has stirred your heart and your mind as it has done for me on tonight. Talking about, we want you to know that God is calling the fathers of sons back and those fathers back to the fold before time is too late. I pray that he'll minister to us all. Lord, we just thank you for the word of God. We just pray on tonight, oh God, that you'll minister to us all in a special way. We pray that it'll draw us closer to you in this last hour and that we will make a difference where it counts. In Jesus' name we pray. Ready, church. Be ready. At this time, you may call me at 516-387-1963. 516-387-1963. 387-1963. And if someone's in the chat room, you can type your question in. If anybody in the chat room, you may type in your questions right now or any input on the service tonight. I tell you, like I said, there's so much going on in our nation today. You know, we need to get back to the Bible. Young men, talk to your sons, and sons, return back home to your father before time is too late. God bless you. Ready, church. Be ready. We don't want you to be...